Welcome to the VBAC Home Birth Stories podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Winning. I'm a home birth, free birth guide, fear and mindset coach, podcaster, speaker, women's rights activist, and highly sensitive person. I'm a mother of three girls, and I've had two unplanned and unneeded C-sections with a special scar. I birthed our third 4.5 kilo baby at home in a free birth after not being able to access a home birth midwife. My own journey has sparked a deep passion to support women to find their strength and courage to create the pregnancy, birth, and postpartum you desire and deserve. This podcast is for women wanting to learn more about VBACs, especially home births, and professionals who want to learn more about how to support VBAC women and families. I hope you enjoy this podcast. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another podcast episode. I am your host, Ashley, and I am really excited. And also, I'm going to tell you and be honest with you, I'm a little bit nervous to be talking about this topic today. Is the position of your baby really that important? And I'm a little bit nervous because my point of view is different to many people in the birth world, many practitioners who are working out in the world, in the home birth world. And I'm one of the few who I see spreading or sharing this message. And I haven't exactly been spreading or sharing it too much outside of my client base and my audience, and perhaps a little bit on Instagram, and maybe a little bit of dropping in some podcast episodes now. And every time that I speak about something that kind of feels a little bit new, without other people in other leaders in the birthing world kind of speaking about it, I feel a little bit scared. I'm not gonna lie. I do feel a little bit scared. And I've done this so many times. Like before everyone started talking about gestational diabetes, I thought gestational diabetes was a crock of crap. I felt, based on my personal experiences and what I knew and my intuition, everything, I felt like it was made out to be so much more than this. And we still see women struggling with the concept. But now we have podcast episodes, and we have Dr. Rachel Reed, and we have the Birth Rebellion, where Dr. Melanie Jackson talking about it with B from Quorum and Restore. So it makes me feel a little bit more comfortable being able to share these things, because we're in a world of people listen to people in authority and people who have PhDs and people who have qualifications. And here's little old me trusting my intuition, which is one of the messages I want to get through to you, is to learn how to trust your intuition, listen to your knowing. And sometimes we can't prove these things. There's no textbooks out there that have the information that I'm sharing here with you. And so a lot of the time, we're going off of either textbook information or one of the leaders in the industry with a PhD has done research, and we're looking at that from a statistical point of view with the evidence. We're all about the evidence. And I'm leaning more, like I'm a logical processor, so I love the evidence, and I love it when this evidence supports what I'm thinking. But I'm going with my intuition here and what I see. And I've been pondering this a lot lately. I have been thinking about it. I have been listening to women share their stories over and over and over again. I've reflected on my birth journeys. I've had many conversations with people, and I can't shake the feeling that the position of your baby really isn't that important. And I know that's different to what a lot of people are saying, because we hear a lot of buzz, getting your baby into the right position. Oh, posterior baby isn't the best. We shouldn't be doing all these things. We should be doing this. And there's so much pressure on mums to get their baby into this perfect optimal position. Now, I was a posterior baby back in the 80s, and I'm sure there were many posterior babies born back then. I know many of my friends had posterior babies and birthed vaginally. Was it maybe more painful or challenging for the birth? Perhaps. They don't really know any other way, because most of the stories are that most of them were posterior babies. And maybe some of these things can be a little bit helpful to relieve some of the pain and some of the maybe discomfort. And maybe it can make it a little bit shorter in the labor. When I went into my free birth, I believe so strongly about instinctive and physiological birth. I tried it everyone else's way. I had done all the things that I was supposed to do. I had been going to see a chiro. I was doing this. I was doing that. I was stressed to my limits, planning a VBAC in hospital. Of all the things I had to know, all the things I had to prepare for, I learned all the things that doulas can do. And I thought, this is great. Like, there's so many tools. But what I've found since I've been working in the free birth and home birth world is that a lot of these things are distractions. They're just another tool to convince you that you need help from somebody else to birth your baby. And I don't believe that that's true. After my own experience of birthing my baby at home, without anybody telling me what to do, without anything except for my body doing its amazing thing, I birthed a baby that was 10 pounds or 4.5 kilos at home, out of my vagina, with no tearing, with no telling me what position to get into. I had a strong, deep belief on instinctive and physiological birth. Do I think that some women will need help? Yes, absolutely. I'm not here to say that some babies and women wouldn't benefit from a little bit of support and help, especially if they're going into 24 hours plus of true labor. We're not talking about prodrominal labor. We're talking about true labor. And if a woman's getting exhausted, if she's asking for support, then perhaps it's helpful. But we live in this culture where we're trying to save women. We're trying to save them in birth. And all these extra things like a rebozo to help with positioning, perhaps it's helpful. Spinning babies, getting women into lunges or on their couches going upside down. Maybe it's helpful, but maybe it's a distraction. Maybe it's another thing you have to buy, another worry, another concern, another distrust in your mind. Your baby's too big, your pelvis is too small. If your baby's in a posterior birth, then it could mean another C-section. I just personally think that it's BS for majority of women. I honestly do. Like, I laid back on the recliner for most of my pregnancy with my free birth baby. I was told to sit on a yoga ball, bounce up and down. I was too tired. Most of the women that I work with are too tired. So to put on them that they have to go walking every day, they have to go swimming every day, you have to see a physio, you need to see a chiropractor, you need to see an acupuncturist, you need to do all of these things, like, oh, prenatal yoga twice a week, Pilates twice a week. Do I think these things can be beneficial? Hell yes. Like, if you love Pilates and you love yoga and you want to get into a group environment with other women and that's your thing, go for it. Like, absolutely. I'm not talking about or saying that these things aren't beneficial. I personally love going to the chiropractor. So if that's helpful, if I enjoy those visits when, I mean, I don't go very often now, I don't need to, but it was really helpful to help with sciatic nerve in my second pregnancy. I didn't bother with my third baby because I didn't seem to need it or anything, but some of these things can be really helpful tools. But some of these things are very expensive as well. So if you're having to go every single week to the chiropractor and then the acupuncturist, and then you're doing this and you're doing this and you're doing this and you're doing this, it becomes thousands and thousands of dollars on top of what you're already having to pay. And some of the issues that I see is that there's so much determination from some women thinking that this is the problem that they actually forget and don't even do the work that actually needs to be done, which is listening to your intuition, learning how to listen to your intuition, learning to connect with yourself, learning to connect with your baby. And then what happens is you're doing all of these things, but somebody else is teaching you, usually your doula or your midwife, and they've convinced you that without these things, that it's going to be really hard for you to birth your baby at home, and you're probably going to need some of these things in the birth. And so then it becomes, don't worry, in the birth, I'll let you know what you need to do. So you're not having an instinctive physiological birth, if you even want that in the first place, because maybe you've so far gone down that direction that that's not even something that you want to have. So what you're having is a midwife or a doula-led birth. So what you're doing is you're outsourcing somebody else to tell you how to give birth. And so if that's what you want, that's okay. If you want to have somebody coach you and tell you what to do, potentially disturb your birth and cause discomfort, potential problems, I mean, it could go the other way. It could be fine. You could have no problems. But I'm seeing a lot of births go a little bit haywire when there's too much disruption. We know that having an undisturbed birth, having a physiological birth is the best way and safest way for you to birth your baby, especially at home. And so that should be the optimal and primary goal when you're having a home birth. And I would assume that that's what most people would be doing in a home birth. But the more stories that I hear and the more conversations I hear, I'm actually seeing that birth attendants, people who are attending births, are holding on to the reins a little bit more tightly, and that they are taking the responsibility of that birth. And I know that there's a whole range of things and reasons why. One of the reasons is because of the way that they were trained. Everyone was trained in the system to treat birth like that. And so this message hasn't clicked over yet that posterior birth's okay, all these different positions are okay. We're not trained in that. People aren't trained, people aren't feeling comfortable. And when you get used to doing things, you just treat every single birth the same, and that's all you ever see. So the distrust keeps perpetuating in every single birth. And perhaps doing all of these things is actually tiring out women. It's tiring out babies. In an instinctive physiological birth, if a baby's not in a great position, you don't want a woman to be curb walking to go help the labor carry on. You don't want them walking stairs to tire them out. They're running a marathon already in labor. You want them to follow their own body's cues. All you're doing is tiring out women and directing them into doing things that they don't want to do. Most of the time when I speak to women, they say, my midwife told me to do this, or my doula suggested I do this. So I did. And really looking back on it in hindsight, I was tired and all I wanted to do was rest. But those women don't feel like they have a voice to advocate and speak for themselves because they've handed over their authority and power in that moment and truly just putting that trust and belief on the midwife or the birth doula. Because in our culture, in our birth culture, I see it on Instagram, everyone's talking about all the things that can help you in birth, all the positions you need to be worried about. And we're actually taking away the focus from the things that we need to be worrying about. And that's actually listening to ourselves, listening and trusting our bodies. I'm excited to introduce you to our Home Birth Group Mentoring Program, designed to support and empower pregnant women just like you who are planning a beautiful home birth experience. By joining my special waitlist, you'll be the first to know when the doors to my program open. Not only that, you'll also gain access to special early bird pricing, giving you the opportunity to secure your spot at a discounted rate. But wait, there's more. As a member of the waitlist, you'll also receive my newsletter filled with valuable home birth resources, information, and tips to support you throughout your journey. Are you looking for a nurturing community to help you feel more prepared, confident, and supported during this incredible journey? My program is precisely what you need. It offers 8 carefully selected modules that I've created with love that will guide you through every step of your home birth preparation. Throughout the program, we'll focus on helping you surrender and tune into your intuition and baby, while also connecting with like-minded mums who are on a similar path. Our 2 monthly video calls, which I like to call connection calls, will be an opportunity for you to bond, share experiences, and learn from one another and deeply feel supported while being guided by me through this journey. So click on the link below to join our waitlist and be the first to access these amazing benefits. Let's walk this path together, creating the strength and the love that brings new life into the world through the miraculous journey of home birth. I can't wait to support you in our community. I don't know why this feels like such a radical discussion, like a topic, but I hope to see more conversations like this. I really hope more people start to have these conversations. The last thing you want is to feel self-doubt or feel like you need to be rescued in your home birth. And I know there's a fine line between having, I'm not saying you shouldn't have someone in your birth, to recognize if there is a medical emergency, or for somebody to guide you, or for somebody for you to turn to if you want support. But having someone direct at you because they feel like you should get into a certain position, or they've come into the birth space with their own fear because they know your baby's not in the perfect position, and they're coming into your space open-minded maybe, but also doubting that you'll be able to birth your baby. And so they're coming in trying to solve a problem already. And then I wonder how much of an impact that has on your birth. I wonder how much of an impact that has when they're coming into your birth space feeling like there's a problem. And I feel like there's a lot of courses and programs out there that have convinced birth doulas and healthcare midwives, people who are supporting women, that this is what we need. This is the solution. When I don't think that's the solution, I don't think we need to fix everything all the time. Do I feel like it could be helpful for some people in some situations? Probably, but I think that would be quite minimal. And I think there's a fine line from having to fix everything to truly needing. We're not allowing to see if there's a true situation that needs to be fixed here. And I even hear this when I hear about shoulder dystocia. You know, women, they feel like they're in an emergency situation, but reflecting back intuitively, they question. I've spoken to a few mamas, was it really shoulder dystocia, or was it that the healthcare professional was freaking out and thought it could be, but it resolved itself really quickly? And I'm not really sure, but I didn't really trust the person. I'm kind of a bit unsure. But then, of course, when you have a debrief with that person, they're going to say what they thought. They're not going to be able to give a different side of opinion. So I wanted to have this conversation because I think it's an important conversation to have. And I invite anyone who works in this space to reach out if they want to follow on with the conversation too. You can hit me up through email or on my Instagram. I'm always open to learning and looking at things differently. I did kind of jump into one of my groups where I'm being supported by an industry leader, and you know, I was a bit scared posting in there because there's quite a lot of midwives and doulas in there, and I thought, oh god, I'm gonna get murdered here. But I didn't, and I don't think I have been. I think my mentor responded and said, yeah, I'm gonna talk about this topic soon, but she had exactly the same views as me. And I thought, well, why is nobody yelling this out into the world? I know there's probably a lot more topics that are out there that it may be a bit more important, but the amount of messages I've been receiving, somebody messaged me the other day, I just listened to your posterior episode, and oh my goodness, it spoke to me volumes. You know, I wish I'd known that information before I had my baby. And I don't want women to miss out on this information. I don't want women to say to me, I wish I knew this before I had my baby, or you know, I ended up having a VBAC, but it was a really excruciating experience because of the way they treated me because I had a posterior baby or something. And I know how I was treated with a posterior baby in hospital, and they just didn't even understand how posterior babies are born. And we talk about birth in a way that is so textbook. We talk about birth in a way where I saw a post today where someone was talking about, tell us about your experience with transitioning and, you know, the last stage when you're transitioning. And I thought, I said, my transition was at the start of my birth because everyone's different. Let's not talk about birth in there's a one size fits all. Sometimes women start pushing early in their labor. Sometimes we don't have the textbook birth. I mean, a lot of women aren't having these textbook births. And there's nobody out there talking about these different sorts of births, and they're completely normal. We walk away from these situations thinking, what was happening there? What actually happened? Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's sharing the different variations. There's, you know, talk about transition and, oh, it's that minute before you're about to give birth. No, it's not. It's not for everyone. And a lot of women are having posterior births too. And so they're walking away like, I was pushing for 8 hours and I didn't know what was happening, and I thought there was a problem. And they told me not to push. I was told I wasn't allowed to push, and it was the most excruciating thing that I ever experienced. If your body's pushing, it means that your body needs to push. You don't not push because an expert is telling you not to, because you're the expert. Your body's the expert. Maybe logically, I'm getting a bit ranty now, but I'm actually really passionate about this. Maybe you are the expert. Maybe your body's the expert. And I know that can seem really scary, right? Because we don't know enough about birth. Like, we're not a midwife. We haven't done training. We haven't gone to 100 million births. But our bodies know what they're doing. They're very, very, very wise. And just as your heart's beating, your heart knows how to beat. Your brain knows how to process everything. Your body knows how to digest food. But maybe you don't understand all of those, how it all works. Maybe you don't understand all the chemicals that are working inside your body, but that doesn't mean that your body won't work during labor with some true self-belief and allowing the process to unfold. And I know when it comes to these things, it's about self-trust, self-belief. And you're not going to get that if you constantly have to go to all these people to tell you your position of your baby's perfect and blah, blah, blah. Trusting in your intuition. And again, you have to listen to yourself. You can't be listening outside all the time. And I'm not saying that you can't have, this is what I really struggled with when I was planning my free birth. Like, there was this big thing. It's not a free birth unless you're doing it on your own. But I didn't really want to. I thought, well, what am I hiring a doula for? I couldn't have a midwife. I wanted to have a midwife. What am I hiring doula for? And I just wanted some reassurance. She couldn't save me, and she couldn't save me in the birth. She wasn't medically trained. She wasn't that way inclined. She disrupted my birth. So she did the opposite. But it was so nice to have somebody who had been present at births that I could hold her hand at my request. And I said, I want to hold your hand. Like, just hold my hand and help me through this with your woman energy, your feminine energy, right? It's what I needed. And so I appreciated having her at my birth and being able to hold her hand. And when I was going through that transition at the very start of my birth, I was saying, this is normal, right? Like, this is normal. Just to say, yep, this is normal. Everything's okay. Because I'd been through it before, but I'd never been through the experience that I went through my free birth before. So there's nothing wrong with having support if you want that support. I'm not saying don't have support, and I'm not saying don't trust your care provider, because I know there's a lot of distrust, and I don't want to create any more distrust. But I want people that come into birth spaces to be more trusting of women. I want them to be more trusting of women's bodies. And I want women to be more trusting of themselves and their baby, and to have more self-belief. And so I share this message with love. And I hope that you really understand the message that I'm trying to put across. And I hope that some of it sinks into your core, whatever you take away from it. I'd love to continue the conversation as well. So say hello to me on Instagram. You know, if you have a different point of view, if you've attended XYZ births and you've seen XYZ things happen, you know, I'm more than happy to have a chat and learn from you and hear from you, and have a conversation, or maybe deep dive into it a little bit more and find out. Because my question is always, before it got to that point, what was happening? You know, what position was the woman in, and what was happening, and who was telling the woman what to do what? And usually I find that often the woman's been coached throughout. And some people wouldn't see it as coaching, a gentle suggestion, but we know that women are highly suggestive or suggestible. And often we do what we're told. It's not a big deal, is it? You know, why don't you go and sit on the toilet, even though you're comfortable here? Or why don't you go lay on the bed, because that would be more comfortable for me while I'm doing a vaginal exam or whatever it is. Those things are disrupting the birth. And it may be something that we're used to doing in birth, but I don't believe that it's helpful. I don't believe that we need to be doing those things. So have a ponder, have a think, and feel free to reach out to me. And if you love this podcast episode, please share it with everyone and anyone that you know would love to hear this podcast episode. And let's continue rising the vibration and sharing our message. So much love to you, and I can't wait to bring you another podcast episode soon. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the VBAC Homebirth Stories podcast. I hope this episode has helped you take another step forward in your VBAC homebirth journey. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a second to rate and review. Each review helps me get this message out to more women just like us. Want to follow along and get freebies and offerings? Find me on Instagram, Ashley L. Winning, and send me a DM to say hi. And come and join our safe group on Facebook. Just search VBAC Homebirth Support Group. Until next time, keep shining beautiful.